Hey guys, it's Noah here with another segment of Go Connect Share Around the Word. And today I'm going to be sharing the seventh chapter of my Guatemala story. And I say chapter is because I'm reading from a notebook where I wrote down everything. And you'll learn about in a few chapters why I wrote it down. Actually, I'll go ahead and tell you. It's because I didn't kind of know how to deal with the emotion. And let me tell you, this chapter, chapter 7, the Friday that we were there, was very emotional. Emotional day. And it was almost indescribable. But I found the words. The Lord gave me words to be able to write this down. And so I'm going to read this chapter about what happened the Friday. There's a lot of things that happened. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Friday, July 20th, 2018. Eyes opened. Today is our last day of Hope of Life. I woke up around 5:30 and grabbed my camera. I decided to go walk around to where we were staying and capture it on video. From the beautiful walkways to the animals on campus like the tiger and the lion. I took a walk around the entire campus. I then sat down by the pool and had my quiet time as I ate my usual Cliff Bar. Devotion today would be at 8:45. And since I had already eaten breakfast, I went to the gift shop to buy gifts for my family. Sarah C. and Sarah B. helped me find the perfect headband for my sister. I went back to the room to put the gifts in my suitcase. I then took some time to prepare and go over my devotion. My devotion was written on a napkin. At 8:45, everyone gathered at the spot. First, we went over the plan for the day. After devotion, we would head up to the orphanage to hand out shoes and play with the kids. We would then have lunch and go with Hope of Life to the dump. It was time for me to give my devotion. So I wrote down my devotion, and so I'm going to be reading it as if I was reading it to our team. But I pray that you'll get something out of this too. Why were we so emotional yesterday? Did we get caught up in the moment? Or could it have been that we showed love? Could the love of Jesus made us feel the way that we did yesterday? I think we showed the love of Jesus yesterday, and as well as all week. All this week, I've been thinking about a phrase. What great love. This is actually the title of a VBS song this year. The basis comes from the first part of 1 John 1:3. See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called His children. And we are. This week, we've worked a lot with children. We've shown love to them. Some of them are orphans. Some come from poverty. We see the situation that they are in. We've held babies. We've fed the special needs. We've prayed over the elderly, and we've seen some tough situations. Can I tell you that we were once in a pretty tough situation, too? You see, we were separated from the Father because of our disobedience to Him. But God looked down on us, God looked at us, and He sent help. He saw our situation. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and forgive us. The verse I just read says that we are God's children. Think about that. We, me and you, we are held in the arms of our God and King. I want to say that again. We are held in the arms of our God and King. Many of you held babies this week. I want you to picture God holding you in His arms. What great love. So I have two major points that I want to make today that kind of I learned from this verse. The first point I want to make is that God is our Father. You see in this verse that God is pictured as our Father. Now I'm very blessed to have been given an incredible earthly Father. My dad lived a similar lifestyle to what we saw people living yesterday. He left home at age 14 to work and to help support his family. And then when he had kids, he worked hard to give them what they needed. So when I think of a father and what they do for their family, this is what I think. A good father provides a home. You see, in the same way, God has a home for us in heaven when we die. Secondly, a good father teaches. You see, God uses His Word and everyday events to teach us about Him and His love for us. And I have a feeling that God's going to teach us something incredible today. Third, a good father provides food. I've heard it said, what if we ate as much as we read our Bible? Ugh, that kind of hurts. But as believers, we need to be in the Word every single day. God has a fresh Word for us. I know life can get crazy, but we need to try to be in His Word daily. And then finally, one day when we get old enough, a good father will send us out. And you see, God sends us out too. We're here in Guatemala. When we get back home, the mission doesn't stop. Our mission field back home could be in our classrooms, our workplaces, our communities. The same attitude and love that we show today should be shown every day. The second point I want to make is that God is our Savior. You see, God adopts us into His family. We were orphans. We were broken. There was no way to the Father. But God loved us. He loved me. He loved you so much that He sent Jesus so that we could have a relationship with the Father. So I have three takeaways. There are three ways I want to challenge you. And for me personally, I love to be challenged. First, I want you to examine your life. What can I do at home to serve Jesus? We're currently looking for volunteers to work with us in Kids Kingdom. Maybe you love working with kids or special needs, and if that's you, I would encourage you to talk with Scott. Don't just sit there. Get involved somewhere. Secondly, have you been adopted? I assume you have if you're here. But do you know someone who hasn't been adopted? I know I do. You see, every day, I encounter people who don't know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge you to pray for them, and that God would help them realize that they need Him in their lives. Finally, keep showing the love of Jesus. The same way you've shown the love here, when you go back home, keep showing the love of Jesus. After the devotion, I pray for the upcoming day and what we would be seeing. About 30 minutes later, the team boarded the bus to go up the mountain to the orphanage. When we got there, all the kids were outside and the shoes laid right in front of them. Rows and rows of shoes laid in front of these precious children who would be receiving them. Scott introduced us to the kids. He told the kids the story of how close to 1,000 kids in Gardendale, Alabama had made sacrifices to raise money to buy shoes. One group of kids spent a hot Alabama afternoon selling lemonade. The kids who gave money to help buy the shoes wanted to show the love of Jesus to these children. And how can you show love to someone you've never met? By showing them the love of Jesus. What great love! After the presentation of the shoes, the kids all said thank you to all of us, and again, we had met a need and shared the gospel. Some of the Guatemalan kids may have wondered why so many kids from Gardendale, Alabama, why they had come together to raise money. And we told them because they all came together to learn about Jesus and his love for everyone. It was then playtime. We got our bubbles, nail polish, balls, and candy out. We played with the kids for over an hour. Some of the teenagers went to the basketball court to shoot some hoops, but many of us stayed with the younger kids in front of the orphanage. I even got my thumb painted in a baby blue. Just seeing the joy and laughter on these kids' faces made my heart so full. Time went by super fast again. Before we knew it, we had to say goodbye. We went down the mountain for lunch, and after lunch, we got back on the bus to head to the dump. I got a feeling inside of me, in my soul, that what I was about to see and what I was about to experience would change the way I see life forever. A really cool thing that Hope of Life does is feed the people at the dump. Hope of Life feeds 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As soon as we turned off the main road, the living conditions started deteriorating. The houses became more rugged looking. We reached the end of the road, and there it was. Smoke was billowing out of piles of trash. The wind was strong, so strong, that the smoke blew far. We parked by a shed. Many people were waiting outside, children included. We grabbed the food and the jug full of nutrient-filled drink. We set up in a table inside the shed. The kids knew what was to come. They were the first in line to receive a drink and food. I filmed, and I saw something that tore my heart. These were kids. Kids who constantly worry where their next meal will come from. Kids who race to the dump truck to see what treasure they can find. Bottles are of top priority. Many of these kids held bottles that were filthy. What looked to be a 4-year-old held close to 8 bottles, hoping to get them all filled. These kids had ragged, torn clothes. Their eyes filled with desperation. A kid that age should never have to endure these things. Kids should have no worries. Kids should be laughing and playing, not wondering where their next meal is going to come from. I had to close my camera and just head to a corner and give myself a moment. Again, I'm not an emotional person, but this is almost too much to bear. I thought about my family. Just one generation ago, this was my family. My parents were born and raised in Mexico. They lived in a poor village. My mom has 3 sisters, all younger. My dad had 12 siblings. Dad says that they were so poor that it was a struggle to even buy eggs. If someone bought a Coke, everyone would only get a sip because they would all be sharing it. At the age of 14, Dad left home to work and support his siblings and parents. He traveled all over Mexico looking for jobs to make an honest living. He and his brothers got an opportunity to come work in the fields in the U.S. Dad would send all his wages back to his family in Mexico. He is the most selfless person I know. He married my mom in 1994, but didn't move to the U.S. permanently until 1995. And at the end of 1996, I was born. Between the time my parents got married and I was born, Dad accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Mom would follow. God has every aspect of every person's life under control. Everything happens for a reason. What if Dad had stayed in Mexico? What if Dad had not had to endure hardships? I might be living in physical poverty. I might have been the kid on the streets in Mexico. At this age that I'm at right now, I might have gotten involved in a gang or with drugs. I might not have had a knowledge of who Jesus is. I might not have been saved. God changed the lives of my parents, and I ended up being raised in a Christian household. And I honestly wonder, and sometimes ask God, not to question what he does or to question his authority, but just ask him, why did he put me where I'm at right now? And I constantly thank him for all the blessings that he's given my family and I. My parents only went to the 6th grade. And as I'm writing this, I'm about to finish my bachelor's degree at an American university. Had I been born in Mexico and raised there, I probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to get an education like that. There is nothing that I lack. I have wants, but needs? I have it all. I always have food, water, shelter, and most importantly, Jesus. Sure, there are wants I have. I constantly complain about my technology being outdated, my computer and everything that I've had for 5 years. But Dad didn't always give us all of our wants. Our house is not that big. It only has a bathroom. When I was younger, I used to complain that I used to want a bigger house. But the older I've become, the more grateful I am towards my parents' sacrifice. We've never had satellite or cable television. We never go on vacation to the beach or to the mountains. Dad uses his time off to serve on mission trips. And to be honest, these things kind of used to bother me. Because I'd see everybody else going on vacations and we were here all the time. But I look at how faithful my parents have been in serving and giving to God. And I see how God has blessed our family. And I can only thank God for the life he is allowing me to live in the United States of America. As I took a moment to myself and I thought about the sacrifices that my parents made, I also thought about the sacrifice that Jesus made. A sacrifice not only for me, not only for the people of Guatemala, not only for the people of the United States of America, but a sacrifice for all humanity. The same Jesus that died on the cross for me is the same Jesus who died for these precious people at the dump. What great love! I went to help serve the people at the dump. Sarah C. and Mr. Craig were helping with the drinks. I got to serve tortillas. At home, I'm used to having Mom serve me tortillas. God gave me a dose of humbleness, as I now was serving the tortillas. We finished serving and then went on a tour of the dump. My eyes were watery, and it wasn't from the smoke. People live here. I could see their shacks, built of sticks, mattress springs, and cardboard covered by thin plastic. Where do they sleep? On the dirt. I could never imagine living in this. When we got to the top of the dump, we circled and held hands. And we prayed for the people of the dump. Scott started, then Miss Rebecca prayed, and then it was my turn. When I opened my mouth to speak, Spanish came out. And I knew once I said that first word, once that first Spanish word rolled out of my tongue, I knew I couldn't switch back to English. So I prayed a prayer that went something like this. Gracias Dios por trayéndonos a Guatemala. Gracias por muchas bendiciones que nos has dado en los Estados Unidos. Quiero orar para la gente que está aquí en el basurero. Para todos los adultos y los niños, no puedo imaginar cómo es vivir aquí. Dales esperanza. Yo oro para la salvación de estas personas. Que ellos te conozcan. Es mucho lo que hemos visto hoy aquí en el basurero. Pero que nunca se nos olvide lo que hemos visto. En el nombre poderoso de Jesús. Amén. Translated in English, the prayer went, Thank you, God, for bringing us to Guatemala. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us in the United States. I want to pray for the people here at the dump, for all the adults and the kids. Give them hope. I can't imagine living here. I pray for the salvation of these people, that they would know you. We have seen a lot here at the dump today, but may we never forget what we have seen. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. During the middle of my prayer, my voice cracked and I broke down. I almost didn't finish my prayer. I was so overcome with emotion. But the Lord gave me the strength to finish. Harrison then prayed, and then Scott closed. We continued to walk over shards of glass and metal. The mood was heavy. It was almost hard to comprehend what we were seeing, what I was seeing. No one said a word, but tears could be heard. We got back to the bus. It was almost time to go back to our luxurious living style in the United States. Meanwhile, people here at the dump and throughout the world call this their lives. Earlier in the week, Tim had said that you would want to sell everything you had and give it away. This wasn't me all week, until I saw the dump. As we rode back, I continue to think about how blessed I am because of God. He's given me resources and talents to make His name known across the street and around the world. We stopped by a large supermarket to buy drinks. I felt guilty as I bought my drink, knowing that an hour earlier, I was surrounded by people who had nothing. We got back to Hope of Life around 3:30. Minnie went to the baby hospital one last time. I went to Kelly's house to hang out with the kids and help feed them. I got to feed this precious girl. Just like the first time I walked into Kelly's house, I couldn't quit smiling from the time I walked in. I fell in love with these special needs kids. To see them smiling because I took the time to play with them absolutely made my heart melt. What great love! After feeding time, I said goodbye and went to the hut for dinner. I saw Mr. Craig and his son Harrison, and Mr. Craig was talking to Harrison, who was in tears. The two kids he had come to love had a hard lifestyle. And that's why they were in the baby hospital. Their home life was horrible. Mr. Craig assured Harrison that the past could not be changed, but that these kids were now safe at Hope of Life. Afterwards, I talked with Mr. Craig about how inspired I was because of Harrison this week. He showed the love of Jesus to those two children. Mr. Craig teared up. I know he is so proud of his son. A few minutes later, Ashley, Maggie, Olivia, Cassidy, and Tiffany came in with tears running down their faces. They each had said painful goodbyes to their children at the baby hospital. After dinner, we went to the spot for Sarah B's devotion. She talked about the dump and how Jesus had come to rescue us all, and she did an incredible job with her devotion. Tim and Scott then talked to us about the excellent work we had done this past week, but also what to expect in the upcoming days. Post-mission trip depression and other emotions as we looked back and processed all that we had experienced and all that God had done. We went in to pack our suitcases and get ready to wake up early to go back to the United States. And to be honest, I was actually kind of excited to go back because I wanted to share my experience with everyone.